Hey guys, welcome back. We're doing another episode with just me, Cindy, and I'm answering some of the questions that were submitted in the Ask Me Anything box from last week. And yeah, I'm just going to jump right in. I'm excited. There were a lot. I chose the ones that I got the most number of questions around and the ones that have been coming up as like themes lately with my clients. So I feel like hopefully this will resonate with the most number of people. Okay. First off, career questions. Got tons of questions, all different forms, versions around career, work, purpose. People asked, like, is it a good time to be interviewing? Because it's Mercury retrograde. Although now, I think as I'm recording this, I believe Mercury is like direct, but we're still in the shadow phase. So it's through the end of April that this, we're still kind of like in the haze of Mercury retrograde. But people were asking, is it a good time to interview? Is it a good time to ask for a raise? Feeling like they're being jerked around by a company, like they keep like moving the stick or moving the carrot farther down, even though they're like, giving them everything that they asked for, but then not seeing the reward. Other people asked about knowing that you've manifested it, but then feeling scared when something does show up. So, okay, I'm gonna break it all down. So first off, eclipses Trump Mercury retrograde, meaning that we are still also in the like final moments of the eclipse season, and eclipses eclipse things out and in very quickly. So even though it's Mercury retrograde, if it's something that you've always wanted, or to this person's point, like something that you've been manifesting for a while and it all of a sudden shows up, or a company that you're really excited about comes back around, aka Mercury retrograde, and offers you the job, the dream job that you wanted, but you thought you were gonna get 6 months ago or whatever, trust it. Okay. You can go for those things and leap for those opportunities. And I said this back in on leap day or around the time of in February, which is this is not the year for fear. This is the year for leap, pun intended, and the net will appear. Okay, because it's a leap year. So eclipses always trump that, and it's a great time to be making leaps, changes. If you can, I'd say sometimes hold off on like signing any documents till like now or end of April, early May. But at the end of the day, if it's something you're really excited about and it feels great, then go for it. Okay. The other thing about, is it a good time to interview? Yes, it's a great time. It's a good time for researching. It's all about how you phrase it and your intention behind it. So if you're interviewing or applying for jobs or redoing your resume, right? Like Mercury retrograde is all about doing things with RE. So redoing your resume, researching a company, aka interviewing with them, talking with them, having a conversation with them, asking for a raise. Yeah, it's a great time for that too. You might not see it in these next few weeks, right? Like it might be something that comes back around in the next retrograde or down the road or the next eclipse season, but it's certainly a great time to ask for those things. And then the biggest, elephant in the room with career is where people say, I like it, but I don't know if this is like the forever, or like, is this what I'm meant to be doing? Like, should I follow my passion? I'm feeling stuck in my current career because it pays really well and I'm the breadwinner or the main contributor to our finances, but I've always wanted to do this other thing, or I've always felt like I'm meant for more, right? I get this question like all the time. And the answer is, you're absolutely right. Like, you are meant for more. If you're thinking about this or feeling this way, it's because there's something that your soul is pulling you towards or calling you towards. The question then becomes, the timing of it. And I will say, this is not during this time, especially eclipse season, it's not a time for like forcing things. So if you're feeling like you're having to force a conversation or force a side gig or a new opportunity or a passion project, just pause. Like this, it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, it should be work, but it shouldn't be like hard. It should be exciting. It should be flowing. So, following your passions, I'm a huge advocate of this, and I am living proof that you can make money doing what you love doing. And for a long time, when I was in my corporate gig, I fell into the, camp of, well, I don't think I can make money, or one day when I'm married with kids, I'll do this on the side and blah, blah, blah. Well, that didn't happen. And instead, here I am, like working full time for myself and happily doing it and making money and supporting myself. And I don't have anyone else, like, to lean on for financial, like safety net, but you can figure it out. Okay. It took time to get here, but you can absolutely do it. I'm living proof it's possible. Okay. So during this time, it's a great time to like start these passion projects or research them again, or putting energy and effort and thought and like getting curious about what it is that you would want to do or what your soul is calling you to do. It just may not be the exact time that it's all going to fall into place. Unless you've been like doing this work for a while or like kind of working on your passion project for a while, then yeah, absolutely at this time it could all fall into place and you should leap for it. I will also say that in order to make that leap, like when I finally made the leap from my corporate gig, which was a steady paycheck, to working for myself and being an entrepreneur, it basically took the universe kind of showing me that like something happened at my job where I was not okay with it. Like I would have left even if I didn't have another job lined up because I was so frustrated with them and was not being valued or heard or respected for the work that I was continuing to contribute. And so sometimes it takes like a breakdown to have a breakthrough. And I will say that for me to leap for my passion and like fully do it full time, it took a moment of, wow, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, this is like the worst that my current corporate job could possibly get. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen if I did take this leap and go work for myself? So we talked about this with Beeg's podcast, Steph's last podcast that we just did about, when imposter syndrome and things show up, it's like following that train of thought of like, what's the worst thing could happen? And for me, with leaping for my job, it was like, or for my corporate gig, it was like, well, I could not be able to eat and die. And then I was like, well, most likely I'm gonna be able to have food. I'll be able to like feed myself. Like, I'll be able to, someone will support me or I'll figure something out. And I was like, I'm not actually going to die in this moment if I leave my corporate job. I'll figure it out. Like, there are tons of things that I can do. I'm a great employee. And even if it doesn't work for my corporate or for my entrepreneurship from the corporate, I'll figure it out. Okay. So, again, I feel like in order to make those big leaps, it basically, you're going to need to follow that train of thought of what's the biggest fear, the worst thing that can happen. And most likely, it's probably really ridiculous, or you know, deep down logically, it's never going to happen. And then when that moment of clarity comes, then those big opportunities might land in your lap, or these big synchronistic events where you actually do get to flow and leap and make changes will all happen. So again, don't force it if you're sitting here thinking, like, what do I do? Or, oh my God, this is resonating. Like, I like my job, but I don't love it. Like, I'm on this. Follow the fear, the train of thought, and look for the things that bring you joy that you are naturally good at. And how can you, I don't want to say monetize it, but how can you begin to package it in a way that others can benefit from it? Okay. I could talk about this for like a whole hour podcast, and I don't want to waste because there were so many other good questions, but those are some food for thought, things to think about. Okay. Stuff to marinate on. All right. Along the same line of like career and like big leaps and stuff, I also got the question a lot, and I posted this in my stories about like, am I with the right person? Like, is this my forever person? Is this the relationship I'm supposed to be in? Is this, yada, yada, yada. Okay. And again, we're in a year of eight. 2024 numerology is eight, which is all about soulmates, soul contracts, destiny. So I'm not surprised if you're feeling, worried about your partnership or like thinking about this or questioning this. And I think this is a great place to be. Don't like judge the questioning it. However, I would just say if you are questioning, like, am I with the right person, pay attention to how you're phrasing the question. And also, if you're looking for validation to leave when you're asking that, then that's a big kind of red flag that somewhere deep down you're not happy. Or if you're looking for validation that it's all going to be okay, just to like soothe your ego of like, you've been with this person for so long and you can't imagine being with anybody else, and this is who you pictured your life with. That question is coming up from your soul, not necessarily to convince you to like leave or tell you it's not the right person, but to say that there's something here that's asking for more growth or more, or a change or a transition. Because I fully believe that we're meant to grow and evolve and change with our forever person. Like, no one's going to stay the same forever. And so these breakdowns in the communication or breakdown in the relationship might be helping you to, again, move to a breakthrough. And so I like to say to people, like, take the other person out of the equation and look at, like, okay, what's really going on in your life? Like, let's put the relationship and the person on the shelf for a minute and figure out, like, what is it that you're really looking for when you ask this question of, like, am I with the right person or am I really happy? Like, what would make you happy, or what's really at the root of that question? Because what I tend to find is that it's actually maybe that you're not happy with, like, where you're living, or you're not happy with your job, or you're not happy with, like, maybe you do want kids and but the other person doesn't. Like, there's usually something else at the root of that question. And it's important to figure out or get to that part first before going back to the relationship to decide if, like, this is the right person. Okay. And again, just validating that this eclipse season is really bringing up a lot of these deep rooted and seated things. And in my own personal life, there's been stuff coming up where it's not necessarily with a relationship, but I would say more with, like, a partnership. And I've really had to, like, do some deep dive. I was like, is this for me? Like, can I really do this? Like, this is what I've been working towards and what I thought. But I'm like all of a sudden, like, questioning everything and deeply unhappy. And at the end of the day, I realized it's not about, for me personally, it's not about being with the person or being in the situation. It's more about allowing myself to be authentic in that partnership. Because what I found is that I was starting to compromise and dim my light and play along or go along to fit in. And that part of me was not happy. That part of me was coming up being like, I don't know if this is right. And it's not that that's not right. It's just how I was showing up in the relationship wasn't right. So again, that's why I say take the other person out of the equation and look at, like, what's really deeply rooted at the core of that question. Okay. All just food for thought. Take what works, leave the rest. Okay. Okay. I'm going to switch to some lighter things. Since we've had a few deep moments here. The Schumann resonance. So I've been posting a little bit about, that's the frequency, like the light frequency that I've been posting pictures of. It's an app. So if you want to pull it or, like, download it yourself, I think it's free. I might pay for it. I don't know, but it's called the Schumann resonance. And it's literally an app that's called that. Basically what the Schumann resonance is the measure of the Earth's heartbeat. And normally it sits around 7.83 Hertz, which is a very low frequency. And that also happens to be, like, the frequency of our brain waves at, like, its resting state or its calm state. So when the Earth's heartbeat, like that Schumann resonance, shows a bunch of light or, like, goes really crazy or starts, like, kind of going off the charts, so to speak, it's just showing us that there's a lot of activity and a lot of energy happening on planet Earth. And I think it's so funny that it's validating, like, during eclipse season, or, like, the week after. The last eclipse was on April 8th. It was a Monday. The week after that, the light was, like, off the charts. And again, we were feeling all these emotions and all this stuff was happening and all these things were coming up for people. And whether it's the resonance is reflecting back what we're going through, or whether we're reflecting back, like, what the resonance is showing us, like, either way, we are not, like, operating on an island here. We are part of Earth. We are part of everyone else's experiences and energy matters. And it was just, it's showing us when there's a lot of energy and activity happening on Earth. Okay. It doesn't necessarily, like, you might not feel it, and that's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that every single person is going to be impacted by it, but I love when science kind of validates what's happening energetically and metaphysically and spiritually. And that's why I love tracking the Schumann resonance, because a lot of times it validates what's happening, like, or what I'm channeling in for clients or what's going on energetically in the world. So it's just a fun thing to follow. Again, you might not feel it, and that's okay too, or you might really be feeling it, and this helps validate that for us. Okay. What else? Okay. The next question. Someone asked about, like, finding out about the future bring you bad luck? And I thought this was, like, an interesting question. And I always say I can never predict the future. By the way, nobody can really predict the future. What I'm looking at when I'm doing readings for clients is the path that you're on and what's most likely to happen, or what's the outcome based on the thoughts, actions, and decisions that you're making today. But you get to have free will, and you can change your thoughts today, tomorrow, this minute, next hour. You also get to change your actions starting tomorrow as well. Like, if you decide to, like, quit your job and move to Hawaii and you just like teach surfing lessons or whatever, like obviously then your path or outcome is going to change from what I'm seeing, right? And that's where free will comes in. So is it going to bring you bad luck to like know about these things? No, not necessarily. However, if you are putting all of your weight or all of your like kind of giving away your power to someone who tells you like, well, this thing's going to happen. And then you kind of like let go of doing any action because you're like, well, someone said it was going to happen. It's not necessarily going to bring you bad luck, but that's not exactly going to bring about the outcome. Because again, then you've changed your thoughts and actions in this moment, and then it might change the outcome. So it's not necessarily bad luck or bad karma to like know about these things. I always say it's just information at the end of the day. And honestly, I've had some things that people have said to me that were going to happen and didn't. And that's okay. Like, again, I've changed a lot from the time I had some of those readings to where I am now. So of course it's going to change the outcome, right? But I always say it's just nice information to have. And I used to be the type of person that always wanted to know every little thing so I could keep it, be prepared for it. And then I realized that that takes the magic and the excitement and like the fun out of life. So I love doing readings. I love talking about the future. I love talking about outcomes. I love talking about manifesting. But at the end of the day, no one can tell you every little thing that's going to happen in your life. And also, who would want to know that? Because then it makes life boring. It doesn't allow for any fun surprises or beautiful synchronicities to happen. So just, you know, I'm all for doing all the things and doing all the readings, but just, you know, you also have to follow it up with action and thoughts and intention behind it. Or again, you're giving away your power, which at the end of the day is not going to like feel good in the long run. So great question. I love that one. Okay. Someone also asked, what daily spiritual practice do I recommend? I feel like this changes all the time. I feel like I could answer this like every month and it would change. Right now, my favorite daily spiritual practice is to go outside in the morning and get a little bit of that first morning sunlight on my face or on my body. Whether that's going for a walk or whether that's just like having a sip of coffee outside for a minute while I'm meditating. And it doesn't matter if it's like 9 a.m., 6 a.m., 10 a.m., just in the morning for when I'm waking up, one of the first things I like to do is just get a little bit of fresh sunlight on my face. That's been feeling really good. I know it's not technically a spiritual practice, but it is kind of for me because it's like I say some mantras and meditations or just like tuning back in to me. Okay. Other ones that are good too are just, you know, like closing your eyes, repeating some mantras. I like to pull cards in the morning when I'm fresh. Again, it changes a lot, but that's my current favorite one. Okay. Okay. I have like two more questions I want to get through. So a lot of people ask, what is it like on the other side for souls? And my favorite thing that's come through in readings is it's basically like they describe it as being like their favorite pastime 24/7 on the other side. So if your loved one loved golfing, then it's like they're golfing 24/7. If your loved one enjoyed gardening, then they're like gardening and hanging out in a beautiful like Zen garden 24/7. The other way they described it is to picture like your best day, your favorite memory, your happiest moment. Everything was just in flow. You were just like so peaceful, happy, weren't worrying about anything. Take that memory or that moment, that feeling, multiply it by like 1,000, and you will have barely scratched the surface of what it feels like on the other side. That's what it's like to be in spirit or back to our true self, right? Because we're only in these bodies temporarily. Like this is not who we are. It's who we are in this moment. It's who we decided to be in this lifetime, but it's not who we actually are. Who we are is a spiritual being, energy, entity that resonates with this super high frequency that only knows like this emotion that I'm describing, like the happiest, flowiest, funnest. Not, these aren't even words, but you know, the energy of that, that's who you are at your core. So when you're on the other side, we don't have all these human emotions and identities like quote unquote weighing us down. That's why I describe Earth as being so dense and heavy. It's because we have all these things like weighing us down. When we transition and go to the other side, we release all that because they're only temporary and we're back to our truest, highest vibrational selves. So another question that came through, why then do souls decide to incarnate on Earth if the other side is so great? And it's for lessons, learning, and like up leveling essentially. So I call it Earth School, or a lot of people call it Earth School, but Earth is a place where we can grow, evolve, and heal karma very quickly. Like to do it in like one lifetime is so fast, or in one or two lifetimes is so fast. So the reason why we come down here is to grow and evolve and learn and to experience things in the physical that we can't on the other side. So a lot of the things that people, souls describe that they miss, quote unquote, from being on Earth is like the taste of food and a good meal and music. Like music sounds different on the other side. It's more of like you just feel it versus hearing it. So being at concerts, like listening to music, sound healing, vibration, like being able to experience that in a physical body is a really cool, amazing thing. And also, again, it's very healing and it's something for like a purpose of a soul. If we want to evolve and grow and change, we come down to Earth to learn lessons at a faster pace. So, okay. I feel like I want to end on that. Except for I lied. I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm going to wrap this because we talked about relationships earlier. Someone asked, how do you know if a relationship, romantic or platonic or friendship, is aligned? And I would just say that the biggest number one thing I can advise people around this is notice how you feel after hanging out with that person or after being around that person's energy. So if you're feeling really like drained or hungover the next day after you hung out with someone or a group of people, even if you had fun, like, and even if you didn't drink, but you're like feeling hungover, you feel a bit drained or you feel exhausted, that's a telltale sign that that person or people you were with are not necessarily aligned with you any longer energetically. And again, as I just said, we're all here to grow and evolve and change. So friendships and relationships are also going to grow and evolve and change, where at some point you might be giving more in the relationship and another point they might be giving you more, but there comes a point where if you're constantly exhausted or you're constantly tired or you're constantly like, quote unquote, hungover after being around someone, then there's a chance that they're energetically not aligned with you any longer. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I'm not telling you to go ghost the people that you feel this way around, but I am saying just start to notice this. That is a telltale sign that it's no longer aligned. Okay. Same thing with like a job. Like if I was always exhausted, like when I was finishing up my corporate career, I mean, granted, I was working two jobs, but I was like, I couldn't get through a meeting without like yawning, being tired, wanting to fall asleep. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with me, but it's just showing me that to stay in the energy that I needed to be successful in my corporate career at that time or in a past relationship at that time was literally exhausting me, which was showing me it's no longer aligned. Okay. So just that's my simple like go-to hack for noticing if something's aligned or not, whether it's with a friendship, a partnership, or again, like a work relationship too. So, okay. This was such a treat. Thank you guys so much for your thoughtful, amazing, beautiful questions. And I can't wait to do this again next week for you. See you later.